All right, we're going to try to finish this Chaitanya Lila today. The very intricate, deep, and profound Lila, the deliverance of Gopinath Pattanayaka. We'll try to finish the past 2 days. The road of discussing this Lila has taken us to various places. But today we'll try to finish. For those of you who weren't here the preceding days, well, anywhere you taste in Chaitanya Charitamrita is sweet. So even though you missed the discussion on the other parts, the beginning and middle of this Leela, still you will benefit immeasurably. And when we get to the end of this Leela, you're going to hear Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's benediction upon anyone who has contacted this Leela in any kind of way. Alright, we left off at the point where Lord Chaitanya had declared, even after you thought everything was alright, Gopinath Pattanayaka was down from the Changa, Vaninath Roy was released from arrest, but Lord Chaitanya had decided he was going to leave. He was being too troubled by material affairs, material distress. And he said his own devotees were wanting him to save them from their own self-caused material problems. And then we remember Kashi Mishra coming to the defense, saying, yes, it is true, my lord, that anyone who worships you with material desires is foolish. But your devotees are not like that. Ramananda Roy gave up his government post in South India and left it all for you. Sanatana Goswami gave up his government post, left it all for you. Raghunath Das left all his wealth just for you. And similarly, Gopinath Pattanayaka is a pure devotee. He has no material attachments. Then Kashi Mishra went to the king, Pratibhrudra, and gave some hints. There's this disturbing problem about Gopinath Pattanayaka's debt. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want the debt to be cancelled. If we, however, as his followers, can somehow relieve the distressing circumstances of Gopinath Pattanayaka's family, that'll be very good. The king, of course, offered to immediately cancel the debt. But Kashi Mishra said, no, don't do that. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to be seen as a sannyasi who has bargained and made a business deal so his follower wouldn't have to pay a rightful debt. But the king, being a skillful administrator, said, well, we'll package the situation in this way. Just tell Lord Chaitanya that all of Bhavananda Roy's family, that includes Gopinath Pattanayaka and the other four sons, they're all so dear to me. Therefore, simply because they're dear to me, I have made some adjustment about the debt. It has nothing to do with Lord Chaitanya wanting anything in this situation. It's simply because they are dear to me, therefore I have canceled the debt. So then, the king called in Gopinath Pattanayaka. Why is it you are embezzling or mistreating government money? You have a financial problem? Okay, I'll double your salary. I'll reappoint you into your old position as revenue collector for the government. And I'll give you this beautiful silken wrapper to signify your high respectable status. So, this produced an extraordinarily wonderful situation for the people of Jagannath Puri. You see, in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating so many different levels of spiritual reality. For the people in general, he would demonstrate Harinam Sankirtan and the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. But for his intimate associates, he would demonstrate love of Krishna in separation. Remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of separation, feelings of separation from Krishna. So he would demonstrate that for his confidential followers. Now, for the people in general, what did they see? They saw that 1 minute Gopinath Patanayaka is bankrupt, no money, and about to be killed. The next minute, he has more money than before and a higher position. So all of Puri was just totally astonished. Now, the fact is, Lord Chaitanya, as Kaviraj Goswami explains, had no intention to give his dear devotee material happiness, material opulence. But, as we're going to talk about today, what you are witnessing is just a shadow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The shadow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy bestowed the material opulence. That bestowal of material opulence is not the full impact of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's just the shadow. Simply because Lord Chaitanya was informed about the situation of his dear devotee, Gopinath Patanayaka, something happened. The shadow of his mercy. Some material opulence. But don't make the mistake of thinking the material opulence is the main thing in this leela. That's why it takes some concentration, some deep contemplation to understand this leela. And of course it takes the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, remember, Kaviraj Goswami explains, no one can estimate the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Lord Brahma and Shiva can't understand his intentions. So here we all are trying to figure out the intentions of Lord Chaitanya. Even Brahma and Shiva can't figure it out. So then, Kashi Mishra goes to inform Lord Chaitanya about what King Pratyabharudra has done. What is Lord Chaitanya's response? Oh, Kashi Mishra, what have you done? You have put me in this situation of taking help from a king. But then Kashi Mishra explains, my dear Lord, the king has done all this on his own accord. Please hear the statement of the king. Kashi Mishra says, the king told me, speak to Lord Chaitanya in such a way that he will not think that for his sake the king has cancelled the debt. Just inform Lord Chaitanya that all the sons of Bhavananda Roy are especially dear to me. I consider them to be like members of my own family. Therefore, I have given them high government posts as revenue collectors in various places. They may spend the government's money on eating, drinking. They can plunder it and distribute the money as they like. I don't care. I made Ramananda Roy the governor of some place in South India. There is practically not one record of all the money he collected and spent. No bookkeeping, no accounting. I appointed Gopinath Patanayaka in the same way. He spent so many lakhs of money as he likes. I don't know anything about how he spends it. But I don't consider all these affairs very seriously. It's not that for me, Gopinath Patanayaka was put in trouble on the Changa. No, it's simply he had some problem with my son. My son, the prince, created this situation without my knowledge. But as for me, I consider all the sons of Bhavananda Roy to be like my own family members. So, it is simply because of my intimate relationship with the family of Bhavananda Roy and his sons that I have cancelled all the debts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has nothing to do with that part of the situation. Whatever I've done is because of my own connection to Gopinath Patanayaka and his family. So what was Lord Chaitanya's response hearing this? He was very happy. Okay, if that's the way it is, it's not on my head. I'm not caught up in mundane affairs with the king and financial obligations and misappropriation of money. Fine. Now, at this moment, Balananda Roy and his five sons arrive. And they all fall at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya lifts up Balananda Roy and embraces him. And Balananda Roy, the father of the five sons, says, "All the members of my family are your eternal servants. You have saved us from a great danger. Therefore, you have purchased us. You've demonstrated your great love for your devotees, just like when you saved the five Pandavas from great dangers." Significant point, because Balananda Roy is known to be Pandu, and his five sons are five Pandavas. So then, in particular, Gopinath Patanayaka falls at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to describe the details of how the king gave him such mercy. "I was lifted upon the Changa to be killed," he said. "Instead, now I've been honored and I have received so much wealth. When I was on the Changa," for those who don't know, who weren't here before, the Changa, a platform raised above pointed swords, and you're pushed off the platform and at the end of it. "I was raised upon that platform, and there I was simply thinking of your lotus feet. It is the power of remembering your lotus feet that has produced all these results. And now everyone in Puri is glorifying the greatness of Lord Chaitanya's mercy." So what do you think about that? Gopinath Patanayaka is saying, "I was meditating on your lotus feet while I was in that dangerous situation. And the power of that remembrance, the charana smaran, the remembrance of the lotus feet, the power from that has produced all these results. High position, wealth." What do you think? This is interesting. Krishna consciousness has many advantages. After all, these are the associates of Mahaprabhu. They're getting material benefits by meditating on the lotus feet. Yes, indeed, it sounds like Lord Chaitanya is extremely merciful. Parama Karuna. What do you think? What do you think?
Lord, you just did, sort of did the same thing. He decided to have the Rajasuya. He just, his attitude was that I'm going to do this big sacrifice and show myself the big mess in the world and show how great.
Okay. Anyone else? We're at a critical point in this Leela now. I warned you, it's going to take another turn.
Dangerous for the conditioned soul.
But Gopinath Patanayaka is saying all the wealth, all the power that came to him was a result of his remembering. His charan smaran, remembering the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya while he was raised on the Changa.
And there's something better.
What did the lady say? Yes. Gopinath Patanayaka says, "It is true that all this material opulence is a result of meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. However, my lord, these are not the principal results of the charan smaran." It is a result, but not the principal results. So this is the all-inclusiveness of bhakti and the all-inclusiveness of this lila. Gopinath Patanayaka doesn't deny that the material opulence is a result of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, but he simply says it's not the principal result of his mercy. And we're going to be introduced with a very fascinating concept here. The Abbas of Lord Caitanya's mercy, the shadow of Lord Caitanya's mercy. Just like, you know, Bhakta Abbas, the shadow of a devotee, or Nama Abbas, just a glimpse of the pure chanting of the holy name. Well, this is the mercy of Abbas. Just the glimpse of Lord Caitanya's mercy has given the material opulences. But that's not the full impact of the mercy. As Prabhupada explains, by the mercy of Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopinath Patanayaka could understand that the material benefits he had achieved were not the ultimate result of meditating upon the lotus feet. The true result comes when one is detached from material opulences. Therefore, Gopinath Patanayaka prayed to the Lord for such detachment. So please keep this in mind. There are two things: the glimpse, the abbas, the shadow of the mercy, and the full manifestation of the mercy. Very fascinating presentation. So Gopinath Patanayaka explains. He's going to say, in other words, I don't think I got the real mercy. How many of you could do that when you would get such material opulence and power? Wait a minute, I don't think I got the real mercy of the Lord. Maybe so many would be rejoicing, oh, wealth, power, opulence, Krishna's mercy. But Gopinath Patanayaka saying, wait a minute, I don't think this is the real thing. And because a devotee always thinks other devotees are better, what does he say? He says, your mercy has actually been given, your real mercy has actually been given to my brothers, Radhananda Roy and Vaninath Roy, because you have detached them from all material opulence. I think I have not been favored by such mercy. This is humility. It's a wonderful habit for devotees to always visualize other devotees as getting more mercy. Whenever you think you're getting some ecstasy, you're getting some favor, some grace from the Lord, always think there's someone else right nearby who's getting so much more than me. If you're giving what you think is a nice class, or you're leading a nice kirtan, or doing some nice service, you should always think, you can visualize, I know at this very moment, at least 10 other devotees are doing things much bigger and better than me. At this very moment. You can be singing kirtan, speaking about Krishna, and you can know for sure, at this very moment, someone is speaking so much more nicely than me. At this very moment. So Gopinath Patanayaka shows an example. At this very moment, my brothers, Ramananda Roy, Vaninath Roy, they have gotten the real mercy. I just got a glimpse of the mercy. Therefore, I got material opulence, they got detachment from material life. Then Gopinath begs Lord Caitanya, kindly bestow upon me your mercy so that I also can become renounced. I am no longer interested in material enjoyment. Sounds wonderful, yes? Just don't let it happen to me, right? Nice to read in Caitanya Charitamrita, right? About 50% of you are looking very puzzled. I think you think that the devotees should just take the opulence and run with it. Well, he can't, right? He died, Lord Caitanya. He just run away with the opulence. We'll talk about detachment some other time. When I'm older. First I have to go through this phase. Then later, we'll talk about detachment. Now, Lord Caitanya is going to surprise you. This Leela is not finished yet. It's getting even more intricate. When Gopinath Patanayaka says, give me detachment, give me the real mercy like my brothers, I'm no longer interested in material enjoyment. What does Lord Chaitanya say? If you renounce, if you adopt the renounced order, if you lose interest in money, who's going to maintain your large family? Is Lord Chaitanya speaking? Nyasi Shiromani, the crest jewel of the sannyas order? Just some verses before, he was saying, I don't want to be involved with material affairs and hear about them. Even my intimate associates, I don't want to hear about their material distress. I don't want to hear about their debts and punishments for not paying the debt. I don't want to hear about it. So now Gopinathpadanaka is saying, I want to renounce. I don't want to have anything to do with money. Give me that mercy. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, wait a minute. If you have this attitude, who's going to maintain your large family? But there's a point to this. It's not that Lord Chaitanya is contradicting himself. What does he say? He says to Gopinathpadanaka, whether you are involved in material activities or become completely renounced, you and your other brothers are always my eternal servants. This is the power of bhakti. Now I'm going to read to you a purport by Srila Prabhupada which clarifies this situation. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is telling Gopinathpadanaka that he and his brothers are beyond even renunciation. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that one should always remember he's eternally a servant of Krishna. Whether one is engaged in material activity involving pounds, shillings, and pence, or is in the renounced order, he should always think that he is an eternal servant of God, for that is the real position of the living being. Now this is a very important point. Both taking sannyas and dealing in pounds, shillings, and pence are external affairs. In any condition, one should always consider how to please and satisfy Krishna. Thus, even if one is involved in great material affairs, he'll not become attached. As soon as one forgets that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes involved in material attachments. However, if one is always conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Master and that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he is a liberated person in any condition. Entangling material activities will not affect him. So we're learning here that both taking sannyas and dealing in finances are external affairs. Lord Chaitanya was seeing through the taking of sannyas. He was seeing through the business dealings of grihasthas and seeing the eternal servitude to Krishna. And therefore he's telling Gopinathpadanaka, why should you talk about renunciation? No matter what you do, you are my eternal servant. Not only you, but your four brothers too. So there's no point in you bringing up the matter of external renunciation. Whatever you do, you're always my eternal servant. Things aren't over yet. Things take another very unprecedented turn. Lord Chaitanya begins to apparently give Gopinathpadanaka some financial advice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving financial householder advice. The Nyasi Shiromani, the crest jewel of all the sannyasis, who previously was saying, I don't want to hear about his debts, I don't want to hear about the problems he has. He was spending money on dancing girls. Now he's going to give some financial advice how Gopinathpadanaka can maintain his grihastha life. He said, just take one order from me. What is that one order from Lord Chaitanya? Is he going to say, always chant Hare Krishna? Is he going to say, yare deko tare koho Krishna upade? Wherever you go, whomever you meet, tell them the science of Krishna. In this particular circumstance, he's going to tell him, don't spend any of the king's money. First, pay what is owed to the king whenever you collect revenue. And then you can spend the rest for religious and good karma activities. Wait a minute. Is Lord Chaitanya speaking like this? Furthermore, Lord Chaitanya says, don't spend a penny for sinful activities. Because you'll be the loser in this life and the next if you spend even a penny for sinful activities. So he's telling him, give the king what the king should get from the tax collections. You can spend the rest on dharma and punya, religious activity. Now, what is the mystery of this? Why is Lord Chaitanya apparently becoming involved in such? We definitely need the purports of Srila Prabhupada to help us through this situation. Because what is Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, going to say next? He's going to say, this was mercy of Lord Chaitanya spoken. And this mercy was clearly demonstrated in his instruction about how Gopinath should spend money. How can that be the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? Financial instructions to householders? And Kaviraj Goswami says this mercy was clearly demonstrated. Although, it is true that the mercy seems quite different. So we need Prabhupada's purports. And he explains, first of all, generally speaking, the result of spiritual advancement is not material improvement. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Gopinath Padmanayaka how to use material opulence without getting sinful reaction. So Prabhupada concedes the point. From this advice, it appeared that Lord Chaitanya encouraged Gopinath Padmanayaka to enhance his material condition, to improve his material condition. Actually, however, he did not. So what's going on then? In fact, this is what he did. This was a manifestation of his great affection for his devotee. This takes some maturity to understand. It's not that Lord Chaitanya was just giving economic development advice. He was just showing affection for his devotee. And therefore pointing out, you know, you should live your household life in a, you know, more balanced way. Don't throw away all the money. Out of affection, Lord Chaitanya is saying that. Although it's not the real purpose of Lord Chaitanya to give economic advice. Sometimes, if you look at Prabhupada's dealings with his disciples, sometimes he would advise intimate disciples about their household life or making money. I know one Grihastha couple, whenever they would come to see Prabhupada, the man was one of Prabhupada's first disciples. Prabhupada would always tell the wife, don't fight. Don't fight. That's out of affection. It's not that he's entering into their affairs or encouraging material affairs, but out of affection. He's just giving some pointers. Your family life would be better if you did like this. So this affection is different from just giving material advice. So, in this lila, we should focus on Lord Chaitanya's affection as the reason why he spoke this apparent material advice to Gopinath Padmanayaka. Through the purports, your vision is trained on Lord Chaitanya's affection. And that material advice was just a symptom of affection. But the affection is the main thing. Still, it was bewildering. Lord Chaitanya embraced all the sons, bade them farewell. All the devotees got up and left, loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol! Seeing this mercy upon the family of Bhavananda Roy, everyone is struck with wonder. And Kaviraj Goswami admits, they couldn't understand the behavior of Lord Chaitanya. So if you feel perplexed, you're not alone. And then Kaviraj Goswami gives a review of the situation. He said, in so many words, what's going on here? In the beginning of this Leela, when all the devotees asked Lord Chaitanya to rescue Gopinath Patanayaka from danger, the Lord had replied that he can't do anything about it. Now, he's just given economic development advice. We need some more explanation from Srila Prabhupada. And he gives it quite straight, as his Bhaktivedanta purports are famous for. By the way, Srila Prabhupada explained when I was working at the BBG. He said, anyone can translate. It's no big deal to translate from Sanskrit and Bengali. But my purports are my devotional ecstasies. So, here he begins. If one enjoys the material world for sense gratification, he is certainly doomed. Advancement in material opulence is not the direct mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, it does indicate the indirect mercy of the Lord. When Sri Chaitanya said, Amahoite kichunahe, it is not my business to do anything about Gopinath Patanayaka's predicament. He set the ideal example for a person in the renounced order. If a sannyasi takes the side of a vishayi, a person engaged in material activities, his character will be criticized. A person in the renounced order should not take interest in material activities. But if he does so, it is out of affection for a particular person. And that should be considered his special mercy. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give a little business advice to some householders, give some marriage relationship advice. It's not that he's immersed in those activities, but it's just out of affection for the disciples. So this pastime is very deep and requires maturity to understand. I hope that in some way I can indicate to you how you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita decade after decade and you'll never get to the bottom of it. You'll see newer and newer flavors of bhakti, newer and newer realizations of the spiritual world. Now at the end, Kaviraj Goswami, he again admits this is a very difficult pastime to understand. He says, I have simply described the chastisement of Gopinath Patanayaka and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's indifference. It's a very good word. Indifference when the Lord heard about Gopinath's predicament. Nothing to do with all this. This is material happiness and distress. Don't bother me with it. Gopinath is being chastised by the prince. He's put in a life-threatening situation. He's about to be executed. And Lord Chaitanya is indifferent. So Kaviraj Goswami is saying, I've simply described all this. The chastisement, the indifference. But the deep meaning of this behavior is very difficult to understand. And then he explains more why it's so difficult to understand. Lord Chaitanya gave so much to Gopinath Bhattanayaka without directly making any requests of either Kashi Mishra or the king. So here, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is admitting the opulence came from Lord Chaitanya, but he did it without asking anyone to do it. He didn't ask Kashi Mishra to go plead to the king. He didn't ask the king to give the opulence. But this is the indirect, this opulence is the indirect result of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's just the shadow of his mercy. So Lord Chaitanya did it without doing it at the same time. But even so, that bestowal of material opulence is not the full impact of his mercy. Nevertheless, it is something. It's a glimpse, a shadow of his mercy. So then we conclude. The intentions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are so deep that one can understand them only if he has complete faith in service to the lotus feet of the Lord. You cannot understand these pastimes with just intelligence, logic, and reason. Your mind has to be absorbed in devotional service. With faith, that means you perform service to Krishna, understanding there's nothing beyond devotional service. There's nothing superior to bhakti. With that kind of attitude, you can understand. You have a chance to understand Lord Chaitanya's intentions. Intentions that even Brahma and Shiva have difficulty understanding. So please meditate on how in your life you have complete faith in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Or is the glorification of devotional service just some kind of poetic exaggeration? Or just some kind of religious cheering, just like you cheer your local sports team, so we're devotees of Krishna, so we cheer devotional service. Some kind of ritualistic behavior like that? No. Complete faith in devotional service means to understand the super excellence of devotional service. How it is superlative. There's nothing that surpasses it. If you have that kind of complete faith, then you have a chance to understand the intentions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what do you all think about that kind of complete faith in service to the lotus feet of the Lord? Impossible? Too difficult? Yes? Beginning stage is the beginning stage. That means you're meant to move beyond the beginning stage. But if you get stuck in the beginning and don't make further progress, you may blame Krishna. Where's my taste? But if you don't perform the process of bhakti properly, you won't get the result. You'll be stuck at the beginning. And then what makes that problem worse is that you blame Krishna, you blame devotional service. It's like, you know the example, someone lighting a fire and pouring water on it. And then you blame the fire. What's wrong with this fire? Why doesn't it ignite? Why is there so much problem lighting this fire? Meanwhile, you're pouring water on the fire. So this is a great problem when devotees don't follow the process of bhakti strictly. And that's why they become sometimes angry, or they blame this one, blame that one, blame the association devotees, blame the guru, blame the society devotees. Find someone or something to blame. Because it is frustrating to light a fire and pour water on it all the time. It is frustrating, without a doubt. And because it is frustrating, you feel frustrated. What can be done? That's the reality. And unless you're very humble, when you're frustrated, you look for others to blame. So that is the problem with lighting a fire and pouring water on it. You get frustrated. Because it's exasperating, you know. Exasperating, you know this word? Yeah, it's exhausting. It's like you're in swimming, it's called treading water, you know? You're not going anywhere. But you're spending so much energy to swim, but you're not going anywhere. So it gets frustrating. The mistake many devotees make when that frustration happens is they lash out at others. They want to blame others. Because they're honestly feeling frustration. So then after a while, after some time of so much frustration, month after month, year after year, they think this is the process of bhakti. It's frustrating. And then, when they meet someone who's a newcomer to Krishna consciousness, what do they tell the newcomer? You may be enthusiastic now, but just wait 2 or 3 years. You'll have problems too, just like me. You think that everything is fine and you're feeling enthusiastic, but you haven't become a mature devotee yet. When you become a mature devotee, you'll see the reality of bhakti. Problems, frustrations. So this way, it becomes very hard for new people to come to Krishna consciousness because they have to fight their way through a whole jungle of frustrations that the older devotees have created.
The morning which you booking up, Prataji is asking, he's praying to Lord Chaitanya that whatever is given to me is just a glimpse of full mercy. And I want to learn the Bhagavad. I rather prefer renunciation. He's asking Gopala Patnaik that whatever I have got is just a glimpse of your mercy. And the mood in what I actually want is renunciation.
Yes.
Is this mood similar to the mood of Kunti Maharani asking Krishna for that give me frustration, so that whenever I am frustrated or whenever I am in distress, I would remove your mood? I'm just asking.
That's a little different. Kunti Devi, when she says, let these calamities come again and again, she's thinking, when Krishna is here, it's because calamities have hit us. Therefore, whenever there are calamities, Krishna will be here. So let calamities come. Because the real calamity is not seeing Krishna. The real calamity is seeing repeated birth and death and not seeing Krishna. So the so-called calamities are caused by Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana. Well, why are they so-called calamities? Because they're so-called calamities because Krishna's with us. Therefore, they're not really calamities. They're a blessing. So let these so-called calamities come again and again. Gopinath Patanayaka is looking at the glories of his brothers, Ramananda Roy, Vaninath Roy. They're renounced. They're detached. They got the real mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I am just a dollars and cents enjoyer. And what does Lord Chaitanya say? Forget this talk of renunciation, external renunciation. All of you are my eternal servants equally. So Lord Chaitanya was focusing on the eternal servitude, which is beyond financial affairs of the household ashram or the externals of taking sannyas. Everything is measured in terms of how it contributes to the devotional service of the Lord, how it allows you to function in your status as eternal servant of the Lord. That's how it is judged. Anything else? Yes.
I was wondering, in relation to taking the younger devotees, as you were saying, from the frustration from the elder devotees, like what I've seen, and what one approach that I had was encouraging devotees, like new people, to stay at their home, and I just try to encourage them in that practice, because I've seen them bring them to the temple. This can be like a straight out problem from the beginning. So, is there any advice on how we deal with new people to give them this protection?
Translate. He says, he acknowledges the problem of bringing new people to Krishna consciousness when they have to fight their way through the jungle of the older devotees' frustrations. So he says the way he has found to get around this problem is to tell everyone to stay at home. Practice Krishna consciousness at home. And then come to the Sunday feast. Be on your guard. Well, obviously, the ideal solution is that the older devotees should not be frustrated. They should be encouraging. But practically speaking, there are older devotees who are frustrated. And sometimes, no matter what you do, that frustration can't be relieved. Krishna consciousness is big in terms of its spreading all over the world, and it attracts all kinds of persons. Nevertheless, those older devotees who may be frustrated, it is a fact that in their enthusiastic days of bhakti, they did so much service. And because of their efforts, we can be here right now. So you have to keep that in mind. At the same time, a new person coming to Krishna consciousness is so precious. We want everyone to have equal rights to advance in Krishna consciousness. We don't want to deny anyone their right to have a clear path forward in bhakti. We don't want to get in the way of Krishna's mercy with our frustrations. So the best solution is that you take care of them. You try to create a situation where people can come to Krishna consciousness and take through the process in a smooth way. In your situation, you're a brahmachari in your particular situation. So you create a nice brahmachari ashram where you are. Take responsibility for the situation as much as you can. Krishna's watching, he'll help you. Because Krishna wants all his conditioned souls to come back to him. You cannot lose just by your endeavor, you're pleasing Krishna. We require sincere devotees all over the world to take responsibility for helping others to be Krishna conscious, to train them. One problem I see is that if you tell everyone just stay at home, they don't get so much training there, you know. I have to admit, in many temples they don't get any training also. So what to do? So therefore you become qualified to reach out and help others. And Krishna will help you because Krishna wants to see the situation change. So who's going to get the credit for changing the situation? You think of something. Try to do something. Or you may say, right now I don't think I can do anything, but I will increase my spiritual strength so that soon I'll be able to do something about it. Speaker said that you can only come to Krishna consciousness when you have the right background of pious activities. Krishna does say that in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham ta antagatam papam jananam punya kamanam. Only those who have made a complete stop to sinful activities and who have a sufficient background of punya, pious activity, they can take to devotional service and determination. So how many of you were like that before coming? So that is the answer to your question. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna breaking Krishna's rules. Krishna is very strict, but Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is very flexible. He gives the taste of love of Krishna to those who don't even know who is Krishna. Therefore, when Prabhupada was explaining this point in Atlanta, Georgia, tears of ecstasy came to his eyes. He became stunned and he stopped his lecture after 2 minutes and left. How, he was explaining, can you give love of Krishna to someone who doesn't know Krishna? But Lord Nityananda is so kind in doing that. And then as I was sitting right in front of him, I just saw the tears shoot from Prabhupada's eyes like shot from a syringe. His voice cracked. After 2 minutes of the lecture, he stopped and left the room. And didn't speak anything about what happened. Those are the footsteps we should be following in according to our own measure, our own capacity. Such appreciation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that we're stunned. This is our inheritance coming through the divine succession. We're going to end by speaking a little bit about being stunned in the ecstasy of separation from Krishna. But before that, let us hear Kaviraj Goswami's finale, his conclusion to this Gopinath Pattanayaka Leela. Remember, he said the deep meaning of Lord Chaitanya's behavior is very difficult to understand. The intentions of Lord Chaitanya are so deep that one can understand them only if he has complete faith in service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But then, what is the final word? Whether one understands it or not, if he hears of this pastime, he will get Krishna praise. Who do you know who's more merciful than that? The whole chapter, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Rama can't understand this, Shiva can't understand this, you can't understand it, it's very difficult to understand, very confidential. Only if you have complete faith and service to those feet of Krishna can you understand a bit. And then he says, anyway, whether you understand it or not, if you just hear about it, you will get ecstatic love of Krishna. Just think what you're dealing with. This is what you're dealing with. Whether or not one understands it, if one hears of this incident concerning the activities of Gopinath Patanayaka and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly you'll be promoted to the platform of ecstatic love for the Lord, and for him all dangers will be nullified. Alright, in closing, let us hear, since we mentioned about Prabhupada's being stunned with ecstasy and contemplating the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, an example of that same situation is when the devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak about Krishna. Vidura had just been booted out of the palace by Duryodhana's harsh words, which were like arrows piercing the ears. So, in his travels, Vidura met Uddhava and asked him to speak about Lord Krishna. The Priyashraya, the dearest. And Uddhava was unable to answer because of excessive anxiety at remembering Krishna. This anxiety is described to be like an eagerness so intense it causes spiritual anxiety. For a moment, Uddhava was dead silent. His body didn't move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into that ecstasy. So what's going on here? Is it that Uddhava had forgotten Krishna, and now suddenly he remembers Krishna? No. His remembrance of Krishna is constant, but as Srila Prabhupada explains in the previous chapter, this is the way of ecstatic love in separation. It's a constant feeling, but then sometimes the situation, the particular situation and the particular incidents, they cause you to lose your mental equilibrium, and the ecstasy just takes a sudden turn and you're stunned. So it's not that Uddhava had forgotten Krishna, and then upon Vidura's question, suddenly he remembered Krishna and he went to ecstasy. Now, he was always remembering Krishna, but the questions of Vidura provoked a specific, particular situation that caused Uddhava to lose his mental equilibrium. And in other words, the ecstasy just took a sudden, unpredictable turn, and he was stunned. It appeared like he was awakened from a sleep upon hearing those questions. It appeared that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord, and that he was again remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. But actually, it's just that the particular context, the particular situation, had made the ecstasies race into an unpredictable direction, and he was stunned. Therefore, he remained completely silent for a moment. And Vidura could see that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy. And Uddhava was trying to wipe away the tears of separation from his eyes. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, this is similar to what Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating. In Puri, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated the sudden turns and the ecstasies that those sudden turns produce. Lord Chaitanya in Puri is demonstrating ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna and showing that feelings of separation from Krishna are the easiest way to be Krishna conscious. In our sampradaya, we're meant to pursue that goal of love of Krishna and separation. You may ask, how are we doing that in ISKCON as a practical daily affair? Well, before every Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada sang Jai Radha Madhava. This is a song of separation. As the years go by, your identification with this song will increase. Similarly, you're having Tulsi Puja. If you ever pay attention to the words of what you're singing, this is quite confidential. As the years go by, one day it's going to hit you. Wow, what are we singing? Amazing. Those are just a few examples. Gradually, all this benefit you're getting will build up and it will ignite. So, please remember, Lord Chaitanya came to show that the easiest way to be Krishna conscious is feeling separation from Krishna. But you have to become qualified to accept that easiest way. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that sometimes people concoct saying that feelings of separation from Krishna are too difficult for the ordinary person. It's only possible for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, we should approach Krishna any way we like. No. This is condemned. You follow in the footsteps of Mahaprabhu, accepting his instructions. Become qualified, and then all these realities will unfold. But we must become qualified. We cannot prematurely force our way into this situation, but we should become qualified. Hear Nectar of Devotion regularly. Attend Tulsi Puja regularly. Sing, hear Jai Radha Madhava regularly. Chant Hare Krishna with attention. And gradually you'll realize you are experiencing separation from Krishna as the humble servant of the civil succession coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right. I thank you all for your kind association. Hare Krishna.